In studio now, I have Cormac Moore, historian in residence with Dublin City Libraries in North Central Area. Good afternoon, Cormac. How are you?
Good afternoon, Noel.
This time now, it would have been the anniversary on Monday, the 23rd, but there was a general strike. It was on Tuesday, actually, in real time back then, in 1918. Big deal.
Yeah, no, I spoke a few weeks ago about the conscription crisis. And this general strike was organised by the labour movement, was the centrepiece of that crisis. To date, I still believe it still is the biggest strike ever held in Ireland. And actually, it's amazing that it was supported by employers. It was supported by the Catholic Church, which is not common for strikes generally. So it was a huge, significant achievement for the labour movement. It probably was its finest hour.
What was it all about?
As I mentioned a few weeks ago, it was the last year of the war. Obviously, nobody knew in early 1918 that it would be the last year of the war. But there was the Bolshevik Russia pulled out of the war, and Germany was able to bring all of its troops from the Eastern Front to the Western Front. They had a huge big offensive in the spring, in the end of March, and they did get through about 50 miles of the Allied line, which they couldn't break through for years. The British panicked. They had conscripted people from Britain, the British mainland, in 1916. However, Ireland was exempt from that. The only kind of avenue they felt was left open was Ireland. So although there had been a lot of volunteers from Ireland, there was no conscription, there was no compulsory need for you to join the army. So Lloyd George introduced conscription bill in April 9th, the Military Service Act, basically saying that all Irish males from 18 to 50 had to enlist. There was huge, huge opposition to it. It was probably the most united nationalist Ireland ever was. The only part of Ireland that wasn't against conscription was the North East, the unionist community.
Of course, yeah.
So there was a Mansion House conference on the 18th of April where you had the Irish Party, the All for Ireland League, Sinn Féin, the Labour movement, all getting together supporting the anti-conscription campaign. And crucially, the Catholic Church bishops were also meeting in Maynooth the same day. The people from the Mansion House Conference, including John Dillon and De Valera, they went out to Maynooth, got the agreement from the bishops. So there was huge support. A couple of days later, on April 20th, the Labour movement said, we're going to have a big strike. So they had only 40, on Tuesday 23rd of April, they had only 40 hours to organise it. But it was a huge success. Basically, all work stopped in all the major cities, all the major towns. The only places open were courts, government buildings, and hospitals and places like that.
Mm-hmm.
And even they were affected by power outages because Electricity Supply Board provided electricity from 6 a.m. to 6 p.m. All the shops were closed, the pubs, very importantly, were closed. Even some patrons were willing to pay above war rates for drink. It wasn't happening.
Really,
they had to do without it. But despite that, there was despite all the inconveniences, like people coming in from, say, overseas looking for guest houses, all the hotel workers were working. There was no food. We got, as I said, there was no trams. Like Punchestown was having their weekly races that week.
And they are this week, yeah.
Yeah, so because all public transport was halted, except for the Great Northern Railway, they couldn't get out to Punchestown. Even jockeys and horses couldn't get out to Punchestown, so they were severely affected. But there was a carnival atmosphere. Unlike the weather we're experiencing now, it's a beautiful day. So instead of people obviously couldn't use public transport, so they walked and cycled, and it was a very carnival atmosphere. There was a lot of rallies as well held that day. Like 59 rallies were held all over Ireland, where pledges were signed, anti-conscription pledges. They had already been signed the previous Sunday, the 21st, in masses all around the country. About 2 million signatures were got, so it was a very significant event. As I said, they were held. Funds were gathered for the conscription crisis, so it was a hugely successful day. The labour movement, as I said, its finest hour, and it was the labour movement who organised this, who called for this. But crucially, it had the support of all nationalist politicians.
And there was nothing like this before or since.
Well, there was obviously the general strike of Lockout, which is a disaster for. There have been strikes, but no general strike as effective as the one in 1918.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah.
As a lot of people would say, we could do with something like that today to show some solidarity about what's going on with all of our services. Yeah, and what happened afterwards? I mean, it was, I'm assuming like everything just lasted for the day.
Well, no, well, there was also a woman's day, which is Lá na Mban, which was the 9th of June. So women in Dublin marched from Great Denmark Street to City Hall, about 40,000 women. And that was, that, the weather was a lot worse. It was raining all day heavily, but still a huge, huge numbers. And they signed an additional pledge, which was that they would not take up the jobs left by the men who are conscripted. So they refused to up tools, should we say, if women are, if men are conscripted. So there were other rallies as well. After the general strike, there was a big rally in May the 5th in Ballyhadreen, Roscommon, which had De Valera, the leader of Sinn Féin, and John Dillon, the new leader of the Irish Party, mm-hmm. two of them on the same platform together. You know, two of them weren't exactly... would not exactly be accused of seeing eye to eye to each other, but they did have a national front for that period. So what happened was, ultimately, the conscription crisis abated, and I would think the general strike really helped with that. So the British realised the conscription was not going to be able to be enforced in Ireland, so they cancelled plans to implement it. You know, perhaps because there was such opposition, also because the German offensive stalled and the war looked a bit rosier after a few months.
Yeah, I was just thinking, this may be a silly thing, but subliminally, you think that it gave people thought to say, look at what we really get together and it's the power that we may have.
Yeah, and look at trade union membership, absolutely mushroomed in 1918. Like, by the end of the war, in the end of 1918, there was over 250,000 members of trade unions. Mm-hmm. That was a huge increase from what it was just the previous year. So obviously, the Irish Times said that was the day when Irish Labour found itself, the general strike. So it's huge interest in it. Now, Labour was in a bit of a conundrum then, leading up to the general election of 1918, and even though it was a very successful time for the labour movement, it also sowed the seeds of trouble within the labour movement, the division, particularly along nationalist unionist lines.
Okay.
Because obviously in the north, the working class Protestants, most of them would have been unionists.
Yes, yeah.
And they were against this strike, against anti-conscription campaign. They actually saw Labour in cahoots with all of the nationalist politicians, with the Catholic Church. So they saw them being led by Rome, being led by a pan-nationalist front, and it actually sowed the seeds of division within the Labour movement. And Labour did kind of row in behind the nationalist movement. It did actually follow the lead of Sinn Féin, and in fact decided not to contest the 1918 election, where it could have won some seats. Particularly in urban areas, but they decided to, as a solidarity to gain self-determination, it would roll in behind Sinn Féin.
Okay. Anything else, any other effects, of course, from that time that manifest itself from it?
Yeah, well in 2 weeks' time, I'm going to talk about the German plot. So the British decided to round up the biggest troublemakers as they saw it, Sinn Féin, and they concocted this notion that there was a German plot, as in Sinn Féin were in cahoots with the Germans to have another rebellion. There never has been any evidence found of this. They did, however, arrest 73 Sinn Féin members, including De Valera, Griffith, and although Sinn Féin's support had been growing very, very steadily over the years, this was when really the death nail was for the Irish Party, and it was a decisive factor in Arthur Griffith winning Cavan East by-election in the month later in June, and then obviously Sinn Féin sweeping the power to election victory in December 1918.
Okay, and that's for our next talk. But you want to talk about the Drumcondra Triangle Residents Association? They're having sales now.
Okay. I don't know.
Okay.
I wasn't aware of that.
Maybe it's just for me to announce. That's probably what it is. Just me getting my words crossed again. Anyway, I look forward to talking to you again, Cormac. And it's always terrific. I mean, if nothing else, I'm the one that's getting enlightened here. But
I'll be giving the talk on the conscription crisis of 1918 this Monday, the 30th of April, at 6:30 in Raheny Library.
Okay.
So obviously the general strike will feature heavily in that, but also the whole background to the conscription crisis, you know, how the threat was dealt with and the overall impact. So,
well, judging by the reaction we get when any time you're on from our listeners, that you're going to have a full house down Raheny on Monday. So that's Monday at 30th of April, 6:30, talking about the general strike and all around that.
And just finally, sorry, Near FM are organising a series of talks. Yeah. Of Dublin 1918. I think the first one's next Wednesday in Coolock Library with Maeve Casterly, my colleague, historian in residence, and Ida Milne on kind of food and hunger in Dublin. Mm-hmm. That's on this Wednesday, the 2nd of May, in Coolock Library at 6:30 as well. And myself and Richard McGilligott, the two of us would have a good track record in sports history. We're giving a talk about sport, the effects of, you know, the impact of World War One. And Dublin in 1918. That's the following Wednesday, the 9th of May, at 6:30 in Coolock Library as well.
Okay, busy time for you. And I'll probably give all the announcements about Wednesday on Tuesday as well as today. Okay, Cormac, thank you very much.
It's been
a great pleasure having you in, as usual.